This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is a pre-recorded breakfast grill on the sidelines of the SC by SC conference. I am with Sunil Aranha, CEO of ThinCats. He is a featured speaker at the recent SC by SC conference that was done in November. And the total focus on this particular event and conference was on digital finance in the capital market. This event was brought to you by the Securities Commission of Malaysia. Good morning, Sunil. First of all, welcome to Kuala Lumpur. Thank you for coming over for this interview.
Thank you, Ibrahim. It's my pleasure.
Some basic information about ThinCats is that it was launched a few years ago and it was the only peer-to-business platform in Australia. And while we talk about peer-to-business platform, it's basically crowdsourcing of funds from the public and channeling it and loaning it out to businesses or SMEs. This is very much something like a P2P, which is a peer-to-peer lending business, but this is a slight pivoting towards peer-to-business business model or SMEs. Can you just go through with us what came about from this particular business model? Why did you create ThinCats? And what is the long-term game of this particular organization?
Sure. So just to clarify in the beginning, ThinCats is actually a brand and a business for peer-to-business lending that was actually created in the UK. And it was created in 2011. And in the UK, they've done about £200 million, you know, and they've got about 5,000 people who lend on the platform. And they have their average loan size is about £267,000 to small business. We actually started talking to the UK and we set up a joint venture, which is now ThinCats Australia. And we started in February 2015. The real motivation for us and for me personally was the fact that in Australia, we have a market where small businesses are starved of capital. They don't get enough money to grow their business and therefore deliver all the wonderful economic outcomes that you would have from small businesses growing in any economy. And the market gap is something like $10 billion a year. And a group of us, including myself, all have a banking background and we've always been passionate about small business lending. And so we thought, why not put those passions together and deliver a technology which becomes a marketplace? What that marketplace does is it provides a platform where if someone wants to borrow money, as in a small business, they will put up a loan application and we'll go through all the normal processes that a bank might go through. The only difference is that loan application is visible to registered lenders on our platform. And to be a registered lender, you can be from anywhere in the world. So we accept registered lenders from from the UK, from Canada, from the Asian region. We have people from Thailand and from Malaysia who are registered lenders on our platform who actually get to see this loan. And then they get to bid a fractional amount for that loan. So let's say there was a small business looking to borrow $100,000. You could have as much as 25 people bidding $4,000 each to fund that loan. Those people who are bidding $4,000 each are actually also then bidding $4,000 on another 25 loans or 24 loans. So their $100,000 now is spread across 25 loans. And so effectively they become like a bank. And I call it the sort of democratization of finance. It's the concept where information and the access to information allows people to have knowledge, which then gives them empowerment, which then allows them to interact directly with each other. Now, what is the benefit? The benefit to an investor is that they're able to get a good return. In Australia, we have delivered 13.9% in terms of returns, which is compared to a bank deposit rate, significantly higher because a bank deposit rate is probably about 1.5% at the moment. In terms of the borrower, they're getting money that they wouldn't have got from the bank. And so they can grow their business, they can buy new equipment, they can hire new people and help the economy. So overall, that gives you an understanding and flavor for what peer-to-business is, as well as what ThinCats truly is.
First of all, when they were rejected or they can't apply for a banking loan from a bank, that's because the bank has already assessed these particular customers and has deemed them to be too risky and would not meet their credit appetite. This would mean that you're taking on a higher risk profile group of customers Does this justify you of charging a rather high interest rate for these customers? Because as you mentioned just now, you're returning about 13.9% to your depositors. You yourself must make at least, you know, something 13.9 plus one. Does it justify you to add more?
I think that's a very, very good question. And I need to clarify some of the aspects. So I will sort of clarify by saying, to start with, we are not looking for businesses that are actually higher risk or that have been rejected by the bank. Because in Australia, the way the system works is that banks actually only lend to small business against the collateral of their home. So if I was a small business that had great growth opportunities and my business is going really well, but I don't have any more homes to give the bank as security, the bank can't lend me anymore. One. Two is banks only lend money to businesses that are already established and have had at least 2 years of trading history. But you could have a business that's founded by four people who have good asset and liability statements, who know business, who have experience with more than 20 years experience, but cannot get a bank loan because their business is less than 2 years old. So we are actually focusing on those businesses. Now, in terms of interest rates, the banks actually charge 12% or thereabouts to small business for a bank overdraft. So when we were thinking of what kind of pricing to put on our loans, we wanted to make sure that the price we gave was such that it would give a good return to the lenders, but at the same time, very, very carefully, to ensure that its businesses can actually use that money to grow and have positive outcomes, as opposed to people who are desperate for money, who got rejected by the bank, who have to pay wages or their tax bill, and they are ready to pay much higher interest rates. And traditionally, that market or the alternative finance market in that end has operated with interest rates of 100% or 90% because people don't have protection there. So we are quite different in that respect. Our band of rates is very, very fixed between about 12 and 16. Above 16, we think it's too risky, so we don't put the deal on our platform. And below 12, the lenders may not be interested. Most small businesses actually make enough of a profit to actually share the spoils of their profit, if you will, with people who gave them the money to make that profit in the first place.
They can interact directly with the lenders of ThinCats?
Not really. The way our platform works is that it is very open and transparent. So every borrower, we put up a credit memorandum on their behalf, which is like a request for money, saying this is what I'll do with the money, this is how I'll pay you back. And then we actually provide bureau checks, credit bureau results of checks. We do asset and liability statements. We provide financial spreadsheets. Then the lenders look at that and they can ask questions. But the lenders who come on our platform come with an alias.
But the thing is, so 12 to 16% is the interest rate that you're charging?
In Australia.
In Australia, yes. Okay. So this is far higher than, say, a normal bank loan, which ranges around, if I'm not mistaken, 1.5% to 5% for business loans.
No, not really. So in Australia, the way it works is that the business loan, the cheapest business loan against your house as security would be about 6%. And that's a term loan, 6 to 6.5. The reason for that is you can get a home loan in your personal name at 4%, but you pay 6% for a business loan is because the banks have to put more capital and therefore they charge a bit more. But the 12% is what they charge for an overdraft. And an overdraft is the benchmark we have used.
Now, you touched a very interesting point right now. Let's move on to the capital aspect of ThinCats. What is the slice of deposits that you have in terms of the investors? Do you have a particular anchor investor that you can charge at a lower interest rate to them? Do you have a higher charge of peers out there that you have to return back with a higher rate? What is the mix?
Again, I should clarify that the way a platform works is absolutely not like a bank, so we don't have any deposits. So the way we operate is we put the loan up on the platform. Anyone who's registered to be a lender can have a look at that loan. And if they like the loan, they can decide to put money themselves on that loan.
Right.
And so they don't keep money on the platform. They put money when the loan is about to be done.
So ThinCats earn a fee?
From the borrower.
From the borrower.
We charge the borrower an arrangement fee, an application fee.
Is it residual or is it time?
There is two charges. We charge 4.5% to actually put the loan on the platform and to arrange the funding. If we don't arrange the funding, then of course, you know, if people don't bid and the loan was not, you know, fully subscribed, then of course we would not charge that amount, but 4.5%. And then we charge about 0.5 to 1.5% depending per annum on a monthly basis as a management fee for the loan. The lenders pay nothing. Okay. The lenders actually get the full interest rate.
With this in mind, there could be an insatiable market for people looking for business loans. 70% of the Australian economy is driven by SMEs. Having been around for the past 2 years, are you comfortable with the growth rate of ThinCats right now in Australia, not in the one in UK?
Yeah, sure. I think the growth rate in any business like ours is going to be very cautious and slow. I think we're very happy with where we've got to because we've done about $4 million in loans over a year and a half. So it's a good result in the context that many of the trendsetters in peer-to-business or peer-to-peer lending have taken, you know, 12 to 18 months to do their first million. So to that extent, we've had good growth. But I don't think growth is really the key driver for what we are doing. We want to make sure that we always have our underwriting processes well structured. We are far more fin than tech, although we are called a fintech, because we do spend a lot of time on eligibility of a loan to be listed on our platform. Because I think in the long term, if you have defaults that are high, people won't lend money to small business, and that could have a detrimental effect. So I think we're happy with our growth. We're certainly moving forward with very ambitious growth plans because I feel what we've done now is just proved a concept over 1.5 years, and now we're ready to grow.
Of course, we're doing this interview on the sidelines of the SC by SC conference here in Kuala Lumpur, I mean. Does it mean that ThinCats has ambition on trying to set up shop here in Kuala Lumpur, at least in the Asian region?
So I think all of the Asian region, excluding China for, you know, obvious reasons because it's quite a unique market, is very exciting for us in Australia. We do have plans in the longer term to look at particular markets such as Malaysia and Indonesia, Hong Kong, Singapore, possibly India. At this stage, we were approached a few months ago, interestingly enough, once the Securities Commission here had announced the potential for, you know, P2P regulation. And I was quite, adamant at the time that we are not ready to help anybody in another market when we haven't grown ourselves. So yes, we are interested. Yes, we will look at growth through partnerships, not through coming ourselves into the market, because I think business lending is different from online consumer lending, where you can do a lot of stuff with algorithms. Business lending is about knowing your customer. And I think and knowing the business environment. And I think it's important for us to partner with local partners. So yes, we'd be open to help, you know, to being involved.
This morning I'm speaking to Sunil Aranha, CEO of ThinCats, a peer-to-business company based out of Australia. Up next, we'll be talking about how the P2P business can disrupt the banking industry. This is BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is a pre-recorded Breakfast Grill recorded on the sidelines of the SC by SC conference that was held in November, focusing on the digital finance in the capital market. With me in this interview is Sunil Aranha, CEO of ThinCats. Sunil, let's pick up where we left off. Early on in the interview, you said that the information between the lender and the borrower is made at a full disclosure rate. Now, this is quite interesting, in my opinion, because sometimes the traditional banking industry is that the banks would have an asymmetrical information as compared to the borrowers and lenders. They would tend to have a little bit more information than these two stakeholders. Because of the nature of the P2P business, knowing very well that the lenders on ThinCats are now directly associated via layers of masking to the borrowers of ThinCats, will this disrupt the banking industry in the long run?
So I believe really right now it's a complementary force, because really what we are doing is helping those people that the banks are not prepared to help or don't have enough appetite for. In time, I would suspect that banking in itself will become far more disrupted industry in the context of an Airbnb or an Uber. And I go back to that original proviso that the access to information and knowledge allows the empowerment of people, which allows them to then communicate directly. So I think banks will still be there. This is just my view. Banks, what they will do though, will be far more transparent on instruction of their customer base. So if I was an investor, I'd go to a bank and say, here's $100, and I will tell you where I want you to put that $100, because I know all the markets that you might put it into, and you can make a commission because you have the distribution channels, but I'm telling you what to do, as opposed to here's a deposit and you give me 2% and then you go do what you want with it. And I think that's where things will change over periods of time. McKinsey's has done a lot of work on this, and they've actually talked about the fact that of the $1 trillion of profits that are being made in the world by the banks today, 60% of that is under threat. Now, does that mean that people are going to do things better or in a more improved sense? Potentially, yes. Does it mean in a more cost-effective way? Yes, because technology, of course, keeps your costs down. But I think most importantly, it's about also questioning the very profitability of some of these models in some of these markets, because for a long time, banks have made a lot of money. If they are prepared to change their models and make less money, then they can access all these new things. So
I heard it's a myth that banks want to make less money. I don't know.
Well, I think it's a question of whether or not looking at a proposition like that one day and saying either we are in the market by doing this or not. But the areas that will be particularly under sort of pressure will be areas such as peer-to-peer lending, the payment system industry, which is absolutely under pressure already, and robo-advice, and those sorts of areas where they've made a lot of money. And so all of it falls into the area of what I call front-end origination, which is dealing with the one side of that customer.
Mm.
Corporate lending, large structured finance, infrastructure finance, those things will always be part of large financial and banking institutions.
Now, in order for this to grow at an explosive rate or an exponential rate for any market, is for us to have good, clear laws, and not just on regulating the business, but also on according the necessary consumer protection. Do you think that we have the necessary tools and people to actually create good laws to consumer protection?
Okay, I might start first because obviously it's quite timely, because I'm here for the Securities Commission conference, that Malaysia certainly has been or is at the forefront in the Asian region in terms of introducing crowdfunding regulation, which Australia still doesn't have, incidentally, for equity, and peer-to-peer regulation, where we do have regulation in Australia. Moving into the Australian market, the structure that the Australian Securities and Investment Commission has decided all peer-to-peer would fall under is a managed investment scheme structure where you require an Australian financial services license. Those licenses are not easy to come by, and it does take a concerted effort over a long period of time to actually prove to the Australian Securities Investment Commission that you will protect all the stakeholders, which includes borrowers as well as lenders. Now, with borrowers themselves in Australia, I think it's important to note that we have very strong consumer laws for consumer protection, which is the code of practice. And so there are limits on how much you can charge and how you can treat them and information that you have to provide, disclosures that you have to make. There is no such protection for business and corporate structures. So to that extent, our borrowers who are corporate structures are not actually protected. But we are quite clear as to what we would be doing in order to ensure the best result for our consumers. And I'm one of the stronger advocates for small businesses to have the same type of protection from regulation or with regulation as consumers, because in many instances, the business and the person who runs the business are the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would like to see that happen, but we don't have it at the moment. But we certainly have our own code of conduct by which we operate.
One company that comes to mind when I think about ThinCats is a company that is based out of Singapore called Funding Society. It's a P2B business as well. They take money from the public. Mm-hmm. They put it in an escrow account, which is slightly different from your model. But the escrow account belongs to DBS, a very renowned bank in Singapore, and then they lend out to the SME customers there. Do you think that that kind of model would work better in countries like Asia, where we put an implicit trust on large organizations, as opposed to a Western country like Australia? Do you think that model would work better in a country like Malaysia, as opposed to something like yours in Australia?
Well, actually, even in Australia, all the trust money, which is the lender's money, it's not the platform's money, is held separately. So in Australia as well, we have ThinCats Australia Nominees, which is a bankruptcy remote vehicle that creates the loan book, and all our accounts are held with the Commonwealth Bank of Australia. So it's the same sort of concept where client monies are really not accessible. But having said all of this, I think there has to be a value system around this, because at the end of the day, regulation, in my opinion, tends to follow after the horse is bolted. And it's important in life for, you know, us to sort of culturally change and appreciate that, you know, there are values in terms of how to do business. But in Australia, I feel relatively sure that the regulation is very strong. It's not any weaker than anywhere in Asia, and rightly so, because I think that the concept of, you know, people flouting the law happens everywhere in the world. And even transparent environments, etc., have those potential things that can happen. I know China has quite actively come up with peer-to-peer regulation now because they've had a lot of failed entities. But there'll always be some rogue situations.
So your business is actually at the forefront of technology. And I tend to get into trouble because I tend to accuse regulators of being really slow in adopting technology. Do you think our regulators here, at least in Malaysia, you know, the Securities Commission lot, the Bank Negara lot, do you think that they have the necessary capacity to actually keep up to date with the technology?
Well, from my very limited view, I feel that all of the sort of regulatory agencies in the world have the financial means to access any technology they want. So the next stage is what is the reason for their being. Now, one of the things that really is very, very commendable in Malaysia, for example, is that the Securities Commission is introducing, or has introduced this morning, peer-to-peer regulation for business lending. And they've kept consumer lending out of it. And for me, that was a very interesting thing, because I think when you do business lending, you are actually focusing on the ultimate outcome, which is helping an economy grow. And your Minister for Finance, who was actually speaking at today's event, was talking about specialist environments for this form of lending, which would include areas such as agriculture and areas that you really want to push the economy through. And I think if you're driven by those lofty goals, then it's much easier to actually use technology to keep up with things, because you have the means to do it. And usually companies who have those goals tend to do that. It's those organizations or those countries that are looking at regulation purely as a fraud prevention enforcement regime, where they tend to follow not what the market is following, because it's not necessary for them to. So I personally think, from, and forgive me for the very little I know in my short time here, but I think that the Malaysian Securities Commission is certainly at the forefront of many of these things.
So taking our focus away from the market growth and market industry, let's focus back on your company, ThinCats Australia. What does ThinCats Australia aspire to, and what is in store for us, at least in the near term?
Okay, so we really do have some very ambitious growth plans, and we recently completed a small post-seed round of equity funding, which will give us the, I guess, the means to attract a broader market for both lenders and borrowers. And so we expect to grow fivefold in the coming year to 20 million in terms of loans. And then from there on, we expect in the years to come to, over the next 3 or 4 years, to get to about 150 million. Still a very small part of the market, but by that time, I hope that we will look at external markets as well and come up with similar branded models where we help people in those markets to reach out to small business. So my ultimate driver is trying to reduce that gap between what banks do and what small business needs. And if it be the banks later that come in and fill that gap, that'll be good too. So, you know, one way or the other, the gap gets filled.
So the banks can rest easy knowing that you're not going to overtake them in this business.
I don't think they're too worried at all.
That was Sunil Aranha, CEO of ThinCats. He was a featured speaker at the recent SC by SC conference done in November, focusing on digital finance in the capital markets. It was brought to you by the Securities Commission of Malaysia. I am Ibrahim Sani for BFM 89.9, and you've been listening to The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.